Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Jeremy Belter. I'm the president of the Seminary Chorus. And on behalf of the Seminary Chorus and Professor Tiefel, I want to thank all of you for coming to our concert this afternoon. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. That's the theme of our tour program this year. It's a line taken from the hymn we just sang, "When in our music God is glorified," a hymn written in 1971 by a minister, a man by the name of Fred Pratt Green. With that hymn, Reverend Green highlights the importance God's people place on singing during their worship services. We as God's people love to sing and speak about the great things God has done for us. And singing provides a unique vehicle to do just that. It's something we're all familiar with. It's something we've learned how to do since little on. It's something we are attached to emotionally. We attach songs and singing to events in life that are deeply emotional for us. Shortly after airplanes flew into the World Trade Center towers in New York City, the song "God Bless America" found its way into the seventh inning stretch of every Major League Baseball game for several years after that tragic event. Parents, do you remember some of the first lullabies you sang to your newborn who was startled awake at night? Or children, can you think of some of the songs your parents taught you when you were young? "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," or "Mary Had a Little Lamb." We even enjoy singing on Friday afternoons, turning our radio volume dial up an extra notch or two, singing along to our favorite song, emotionally charged up because the work week is finally over. Yes, singing is something we do. We do it intentionally. We even do it spontaneously. Christians sing as well. The history of the church in the Old and New Testament documents this time and time again. The Old Testament believers had an entire book of the Old Testament devoted to their hymns, the Book of Psalms. Our Lord Jesus himself loved to sing. Reverend Green noted that in the fourth verse of his hymn. He said, "And did not Jesus sing a psalm that night when utmost evil strove against the light?" Yes, even on the night our Savior was betrayed by one of his own disciples, he raised a song of praise to his God. The Lutheran Church, from its very beginning, received the nickname the Singing Church because of its vigorous and joyous singing. And so today we continue that tradition. We fill our worship services with hymns and songs and anthems. But why? Mary, the mother of our Lord, answered that question the best. In Luke chapter 1, she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." The question is not, why do we sing? The question is, how can we not sing? When we consider what great things God has done for us. Because face it, If God did not break into this world, compelled by his undying love that would not see us lost eternally, we would not be raising a voice to rejoice, but rather a cry as we die. God's law does not paint a pretty picture of our condition. It speaks of a heart and life that is sinful, a heart and life that we all have, a heart and life that is bent on breaking every one of God's commands. Far from being a relatively unspoiled beach of sanctity, our heart is the fortress from which we launch our mutiny and rebellion against our God and against our neighbor. But where death is deserved, life is lavished. Where reconciliation, where rejection is expected, reconciliation has been made. The good news of what God has done for us through Christ Jesus far outweighs any bad news we deserve. Through Christ, we see God's undying, unending love for this world. Jesus Christ came to this earth and did for us what we could not do. He went to the cross on that first Good Friday and endured the punishment that we deserved for not having done his will. And then he clothed all of us in the holy, righteous life that he earned, so that you and I now stand forgiven and redeemed before the Father in heaven, declared not guilty, free of all of our sins by his sacrifice. The good news is the indescribable richness of our new life together with God, reconciled while we were still enemies, made alive even while we were spiritually dead, brought near while we were still strangers, and given a spot in heaven, made co-heirs of his entire estate, even while we were hostile to him. And so, we sing. We sing out loud, and we sing in our hearts. We sing with excellent voices, and some not so excellent voices. But all of our praise is a fine sounding tune in the ears of our God, because it flows from a heart of faith that trusts in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. We, the men of the seminary chorus, feel very strongly about singing about what Christ has done. That's why we traveled all the way here to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. We even feel so strongly about speaking about what Christ has done for us that we enrolled at your seminary, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, so that one day, God willing, we might receive an assignment to serve a congregation such as yours. As we continue along that path of preparation, please keep all the students and the professors in your thoughts and your prayers. And as the Lord moves you, and as he gives you opportunity, remember to support the work of the seminary and all of our ministry training schools. These are the training grounds for your future pastors and teachers. Perhaps there are young men in your family or in your congregation whom you have identified as excellent candidates for the ministry. Or perhaps there are some young people who you see as fine candidates to be teachers in our classrooms. Encourage them. Encourage them to think about it, to pray about it. And if you young people have ever thought, what's it like to be a pastor? What do you do at the seminary? Why do you study there? If you've ever wondered, could I be a pastor? I want you to come and introduce yourself to me or one of the other members of the chorus after the concert and ask us, what's it like to go to the seminary? What do you do there? Ask yourself, might the Lord use me to be a full-time minister of the gospel? But whether you decide to serve the Lord as a full-time minister or not, that doesn't stifle the praise the Lord has put on our lips. Wherever God has given you the ability to serve, there you can be a mouthpiece of proclamation for the Lord. You can speak about Christ at the afternoon playgroup where you take your children. You could speak about Christ at your health club or over your morning coffee at the local diner. You can speak about Christ on the school bus to and from school. And yes, you can speak about Christ while you're gathered around your dining room table or your living room for your family devotions. Let every part of our life be tuned to praise. Praise that proclaims the great things Christ has done for us, so that one day all may rejoice who have a voice to raise. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, peace that was won for us at the altar of the cross, where our Lord Jesus gave up his life so that you and I would be forgiven saints in the eyes of God. Grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You may be seated.
This is a day that Thank you. St. Mark's. I'd like to thank Professor Keeble and the members of the Seminary Chorus for traveling such a long distance to share God's word with us today, and for reminding us of such a simple and yet profound idea. Everyone who has been given a voice, let it be raised. Let it rejoice. Not only has God given us the gift of a voice, but he's given us so much more in our salvation. We have every reason to rejoice. So thank you.